Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Stuart Kaur, executive director of Pumps and Pipes, a Houston organization that promotes collaboration and innovation across aerospace, energy, and medicine. Stuart, who is also the director of innovation systems engineering at Houston Methodist and associate professor of biomedical engineering research, shares what all to expect at the Magical Pumps and Pipes event on December 5th. That will feature thought leadership across industries and technologies. Stuart, thanks so much for joining me today.
Good to be here. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, you've had a handful of roles at Houston institutions within these crossroads of technology, academia, medicine. So how did you find your way into this industry?
That's actually a very good question. It all boiled down to a simple email that I got when I was in Dublin. I was studying for a master's at the time in electronic systems and was majoring in nanoelectronics and photonics. And anyway, I got this email, looked a little bit like spam, and it said, hey, you know, if you're a student, would you be interested in going to America for an internship? And I kind of read through it and I thought, oh, no, I'll just delete that. And then a couple of weeks later, I got the same email again and I read it a little bit more. I thought, this sounds really good. The email they were saying, yeah, we'd put you as an intern over in Houston, other areas of America, et cetera. So I just applied for it. And literally I was flying back from Australia from a cousin's wedding. Then the airport checked my email and he said, hey, Stuart, you got accepted for the program. The program was the Irish FOSS Science Challenge. And little did I know, a few months later, I'd be starting an internship at Rice University in the Department of Chemistry, which was a massive hotbed for nanotech at the time and still is. And that was literally my first experience in America, 2006, at Rice, at Houston, and it launched my research and innovation career.
Wow, that's awesome. I love those stories of the difference of a meeting or an email or something like that really changing the course of your career, maybe, and your life, you know what I mean? So Flash forward, can you describe your role and what you do at Houston Methodist?
Yeah, so I'll kind of give a background of how I actually got there as well, because, you know, I started off doing research in chemistry and I needed an engineer, right, to build out some of the analytical equipment. And it was about 2009, my mentor, Dr. Lauren Wilson, who was a chemist, he had a project with Dr. Steve Curley, who was a surgical oncologist over at MD Anderson Cancer Center. And they were working on the Canisius system, right, invented by John Canisius. And this was a method of treating liver and pancreatic cancer, but using what's called as a non-invasive radio frequency energy. And it's combined with nanoelectronics and nanoparticles. And long story short, they say, look, we need an engineer to lead the project, to keep working on it. So I said, yep, I'm here. So I went from Rice to MD Anderson and then kind of inadvertently actually follow the academic pathway. You know, I end up becoming assistant professor over at Baylor because we went from MD Anderson Cancer Center to Baylor. And we were in charge of getting the preclinical data for the Canisius RF therapy. That got spun out as a startup that is now Neotherma Oncology. That project kind of ended. And so there was a big void, right? It was a big kind of hole. It's like, what do I do next? And then at the time, Billy Cohen, who you all know, you know, executive director of J&J Center for Device Innovation, he went over to join J&J and there was a bit of a void in the department. And department chair said, hey, Stuart, you know, would you be interested in leading this up? And I said, sure. So that got me on the innovation pathway. And there's a distinct difference, I'm going to say this right now, distinct difference in my view between research and innovation. It wasn't until I crossed over that I realized the big difference. And so we had some projects at Baylor, and then I got wind of Houston Methodist, and I met Dr. Alan Lumsden, who is also Scottish, as you probably tell by the accents. And he said, look, we've got a lot going on over here. Would you like to come over? And I said, sure. So that's kind of how I ended up at Houston Methodist with my role there.
Well, now that you said that there's this big difference, I wonder if you could expand on that and describe, you know, how research and innovation, their differences, but how they're related and your perspective.
Yeah, that's a very good question. So research is really much hypothesis driven, right? You've got hypothesis. You're trying to understand the mechanism of action. So you're kind of incrementing towards your thesis. And, you know, it's very focused on one thing, but innovation, you're kind of starting with the problem that you're already trying to solve. So it's like, hey, we have a problem in the clinic of this, of that. You know, we need to find ways to solve it. And, you know, without going too deep in it, the biggest difference to me is just access to funding and the timeline. You're in academia, you're looking at several years to really get grant funding to pursue your idea, okay? With innovation, you could literally the next day, like join some kind of innovation competition that's going on, pitch your idea, get 50 grand, and boom, you know, you're out there designing a prototype. And then you repeat that. So it's the pace of it is far quicker than academic research. And someone like myself, I can get a little bit impatient sometimes. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people in my life that have told me that. I get it, I understand it. So it just seemed a more natural fit for me, the world of innovation.
So speaking of Houston Methodist, I know it to be a very innovative institution within Houston. So tell me a little bit about your role and your responsibility within the greater innovation machine that is Houston Methodist.
Sure. So one of my roles is kind of two-front. It's to develop in-house like new technologies, you know, ideally technologies that can lead to some filing of a provisional patent or a patent, et cetera. The other role is to pull in technology. So to pull in technology that's, you know, maybe being developed by a startup company, they want to get preclinical data, and they want to do like a user study, et cetera. And it's to really help find and match those type of technologies with some of the clinicians. And, you know, we work hand in hand with a lot of the Houston Methodist entities for that, one of which is the Center for Rapid Device Translation run by Homer Kitana. And the other is the Center for Innovation run by Roberta Swartz and her team. And you have their DIOP, like digital health crew, et cetera. So, but my two areas are really focused on the Baikie Heart and Vascular Center. And the other is MITEI, which is the Methodist Institute for Tech Innovation and Education. And obviously there's an academic component to that as well. You know, we want to be seen to be creating courses at the cutting edge of technology that, you know, we want people to understand. And I think two of the big things they've got me working on is a concept called MIRIN, which is Institute for Robotics, Imaging and Navigation. And the other is, I think, why we're here today, and that's pumps and pipes. So those are two kind of major programs they've got me developing over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a great segue into discussing pumps and pipes. Tell me a little bit about how you originally got involved with the organization and how you describe the organization to someone who's never heard of it.
Yeah, no, great question. So pumps and pipes is all about our network. It's all about innovation on demand with the idea that we understand what's in other people's toolkits, what's in their technology and innovation portfolio. And ideally, we want to use new technology to solve our own problems. And it's in this, the three key industries of Houston. It's aerospace, energy, and medicine, right? We have the world's largest medical center here, right on our doorstep. We have NASA down the street. And now we have this, you know, big, huge oil and gas industry, which is becoming the transition energy capital of the world. So it really, you know, pumps and pipes at the very least is an annual event that we have that brings together key leaders and stakeholders in those three industries into one room. So it's not just random people coming, it's people that we've worked with, that we know, that can really influence and shift the needle. As you know, a lot of the startup companies here, it can take a lot of time to really get things moving, okay? So we really think that pumps and pipes can help alleviate those pain points and kind of bring to fruition some of that innovation a little bit quicker. But also, really, it allows us just to work, you know, pull in new technologies from different industries and see if we can use them in, like, our own space, like the cardiovascular space, for example.
I think it's so interesting that this, you know, organization, this event, first of all, extremely Houston, only this could only happen in Houston, right? This kind of confluence of these industries. But why is it so important to see this collaboration across the board? You know, what is the genesis of that organization, and why have these cross industry conversations?
Yes, it's all about innovation through collaboration, right? And you have to be able to collaborate in order to really drive innovation. Like, you just, it's very, very hard to do innovation on your own in a room with no help from people. It's teamwork through and through. And Houston is such a diverse, like, city, got massive thought diversity as well. So you got people from all across the world coming here that have been trained and educated and have experiences that are different from the average American experience, right? So that's another really unique kind of aspect to Houston is a lot of this transient, the nature of the transient interplays and interactions we have. So we're really, again, just trying to boil that down into at least one event a year where we bring these people together, because you really do need a big team and you need your collaborators in order to innovate in a lot of these spaces.
Well, let's talk about the event on December 5th. So just coming up in a couple of weeks, how would you describe the overall goal of the event? And then let's zero in on some of the actual topics and professionals that are going to be there sharing the stage.
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to start with a famous quote here, actually, by Arthur C. Clarke, who, as you probably know, wrote 2001 Space Odyssey. He said, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic." Okay. And that's been a little bit of our theme this year. That's why we have as our special guest, Penn Jillette from the magic duo Penn Teller from Las Vegas. Now, you may or may not know, but some of the surgeons in Houston are actually magicians as well. And I don't mean just performing magic in the OR. I mean, they're bona fide magicians. And, you know, we have Billy Cohen out there, who's a magician. We also have Dr. Randy Wolf here at Houston Methodist, who is a magician and has done some magic at previous Pumps and Pipes. But he actually helped Penn and Teller with one of their magic tricks there a couple of years ago. I believe it was the watermelon keyhole surgery trick, which is actually out there on YouTube. So again, we've had virtual meetings for the last couple of years. So we want our first in-person meeting to be a little bit more informal and to be entertaining, but to really tackle some of the four key technology sectors at the moment, which are almost a little bit indistinguishable from magic just because of where they're going. So we have artificial intelligence, we have extended reality, we have robotics, and we have Web3. Now, I think at the time that I'm recording this, there's, you know, if everyone's been following cryptocurrency or blockchains, et cetera, you know, there's a lot happening in that space. But blockchain, like Web3, is not just cryptocurrency. There's a whole other avenue of technological applications. And we're going to hear about that from the likes of Tim Marks from Topple, Am Hansen from Genial, and we have Maresh Sashistal as well from the Houston Blockchain Alliance. So they're going to be talking us through that. And we then also, we've got a guest keynote presentation from Dr. Lucy Lowe on Axiom Space. And she's director of the microgravity research program for Axiom Space. And you may have seen the news headlines there that I think they got awarded like $250 million to build the next generation spacesuits that are going to take people back to the moon on Artemis 3 mission. So Axiom Space, you know, they have this commercial space station that they're going to be developing. I mean, you know, have you ever heard of a commercial space station? I mean, it's just crazy, right? So we're going to learn about that. We're going to understand the technology and basically where they're going with that. Then we have, obviously, magic. Spoke about that. And at the very end, we're talking about from oceans to space. So it's this magical journey of robotics, AI, XR. We've got Nicholas Radford from Nauticus Robotics. And those guys actually went public as a company. They were ringing that bell in New York Stock Exchange a couple of weeks ago. Got Jimmy Wu from TRISH, which is the Translational Research Institute for Space Health. Got Dr. Alan Lumsden from Houston Methodist. Now Brian Warwick as well from Amazon Web Services. So it's going to be a really interesting morning. And there's one new thing we're doing as well. It's called this Magic in the Making Pumps and Pipes Spotlight. So we're trying to, you know, focus on entity or an individual that really exemplifies the pumps and pipes qualities over the last year. And this year it's Joanna Nathan from Prana Thoracic. So yeah, so it's going to be a very fun morning, very educational, but very entertaining. And then in the afternoon, we have a lot of satellite symposiums. So Scott Parazynski, for example, former NASA astronaut, he's going to be on stage with Paul Fotheringham from 3D Life Prints talking about point of care health. We have some Blockchain Alliance, block apps kind of stuff going on. Steve Radier from NASA talking about innovation at NASA. And the final thing is we have, I think it's 24 exhibitors that are going to be there showcasing our technology. And it's going to be very, very interactive. So come along and, you know, use some virtual reality headsets, see people wearing the Tesla suit, and understand how you can integrate with artificial intelligence. So it's a really hands-on, real interactive exhibitors. And that's all in the space of 8 till was it 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.?
Yeah, at the Ion, right?
At the Ion.
That's so exciting. I love this theme. We love Joanna Nathan. She's been on the podcast very recently. So this is from outside looking in, it just looks like to be like it's going to be this very exciting, like you said, educational, but interesting day discussing these unique technologies and how they affect these very Houston industries, right? So from your perspective, who should sign up to attend? Who should be there for sure to enjoy this day and of networking and programming?
Yeah, so if you're interested in innovation and technology in the Houston area across those three industries, this should be your default like setting, and it should be in your calendar. It's the first Monday of December of every year, so definitely go there. And you know, includes like startup. If you're a startup looking to get access to VCs, for example, you know, we're building up our portfolio of venture capitalists that are going to be there. Really, if you just want to kind of feel the pulse, you know, feel the pulsating energy, which is Houston and all its ecosystem, you should go there because you're going to get a bird's eye view of just what we've been doing. And again, you know, all those companies I'm listing off there, like they are all Houston based. All right. So it really, you know, I think it wasn't until the TMC Innovation Institute launched in 2016, you know, there always seemed to be a little bit of a void, I think, when it came to innovation. And when that got launched, I mean, it's only been, what, 5-6 years, but look at what has happened in the Houston space in 6 years. It is incredible, all right? You had TMC Innovation Institute, then you had J-Labs CDI, then you had Greentown Labs, you had the Ion, and it's just grown and grown. And you've got TMC3 coming up, you've got the Bioport. It's really incredible where we've been in 6 years, and I think it really is important that we disseminate to the public, specifically in Houston, just how well we're doing. I mean, we're not all there patting ourselves on the back, right? I mean, it's a lot of hard work. There's a lot to go, but you need to give yourself a break every now and again. And I think that's what we're trying to do as well at Pumps and Pipes. Just give yourself a little bit of a break in December. It's the end of the year. And come along and just see how well everyone is doing.
That actually completely just answered my next question for you, which is really to just see your perspective on how Houston has evolved, you know, since Pumps and Pipes was established in 2007 and, you know, this new era that it's in now. How do you see this type of collaboration, which you very passionately, you know, explained earlier is super important? How has that grown? Has Houston become more collaborative within its innovation ecosystem across industries? Have you seen that firsthand, or does there need to be more at this point?
Yeah, so the first panel actually of the morning at Pumps and Pipes, I think we'll really articulate that the best. And that's, you actually have Jan Odegaard from the Ion, Michelle Stansbury from Houston Methodist, Juliana Greiser from Greentown Labs, and Steve Adair from NASA. So I think they're going to be really able to hammer on just what we've been doing the last kind of few years and where it's going to go, like as a collective. And where Pumps and Pipes fits in there, again, you know, first and foremost, we are a network. Okay. I mean, it takes a big network to be able to pull these events like off and bring them together. And I'm not just talking about the logistic execution. I mean, obviously, you know, we have Ariel Rock helping putting this together. And if it wasn't for her input, we would not be having an event. So shout out to Ariel for this. But it really is about just bringing, you know, those right stakeholders and people in place. But again, where Pumps and Pipes fits into this, well, we have our annual event. But the reason we have our slogan is innovation on demand is we have to be a fast-acting, dynamic organization that can rapidly respond to the needs of our ecosystem. That's what our mission statement's moving on.
So what does that look like for the future? You know, what are you seeing, I don't know, trend perspective or just, you know, where the city is going as an innovation hub? What does the future of Pumps and Pipes look like? And what does the future of Houston innovation look like from your perspective?
So the future of Houston innovation, again, you've got this three-pronged kind of areas, aerospace, energy, and medicine, right? And I mean, as you know, I kind of discussed here what we're doing in the TMC, you know, with the TMC theme, the Bioport, et cetera. But it's not necessarily, you can't equate building more to like better outcomes, right? It's, I think what's going to happen is going to be like a point where you got to start filtering a little bit more some of the innovation that's coming in. And especially in a hospital setting, what I'm seeing is a lot of people are getting burnt out We just got out of pandemic, okay? But also from an admin perspective, like being able, like startup companies and, you know, people underestimate just how many people hours it takes to review like a slide deck or to go through your ideas and to meet with you and take tours and stuff. That takes a lot of work, okay? And unfortunately, not all the startups are kind of, like they don't really get that sometimes, and it could be a little bit disrespectful, all right? I mean, I know it sounds a bit controversial there, but it does happen, and you got to be able to kind of to deal with that as well. It's just part of the job, right? So, but I think, you know, we're going to need to start making that filter really more focused, like really understanding exactly what are the hospital's needs. For example, we have a big problem in nursing now, okay? So we are looking for innovation that can enhance like the tasks of the nurses and kind of like enhance efficiency and give them a better quality experience on the job, right? So that's a big push for us because, you know, we love our nurses. We got to make sure that everyone's happy and that we're pushing that needle in the right direction. Then we switch over to energy, for example. It's transition energy, right? We're trying to get away from pumping oil and gas to pumping electrons. What is needed for that to happen? I mean, the timeline with the energy sector is a little bit different. I mean, there's a lot of pressing factors. I mean, we have COP, was it COP27 that's going on now? It's going to be finished pretty soon. So there's a real immediate threat in that era that we've got to get this sorted, like, quick. So with all these pressing factors, I think we're only going to be able to really achieve our objectives as a city if we can respond quick and rapid and dynamic. It's too easy. It's innovation. It's the game that never ends, okay? It's the game that never ends. That's why I got up my Twitter, right? Because I need to remind myself, like, you get through one little hurdle, you get a win, something else happens. You got to keep going, keep going, keep going. And we're not there yet. We're getting there. We're making all the right moves, you know, is from what I've seen in Houston. But I think, you know, once you start getting these startup companies like, you know, Nicholas Radford and Nauticus Robotics and a lot of these bigger kind of companies going public and actually seeing this stuff in your home, right? Actually seeing the benefits. I think then it's going to be a massive game changer and a shifter.
Yeah, that's such a great reminder. You know, the work is being done, but the work is also endless. So kind of across industries, there's going to have these, you know, pressing issues and being able to respond to them is the key element. And does Houston have what it takes? You know, I guess wait and see, right? Wait and see and learn more at Pumps and Pipes in a couple weeks. So, Stuart, thank you so much for your time today. It was lovely to talk to you about all of these topics and this collaboration that you're helping to facilitate in Houston. It's really exciting, and I'm really excited for the event and hearing everyone's thought leadership there.
Thank you very much. Again, thanks for having me on the show, and I'm delighted to partner up with you guys to advertise Pumps and Pipes. So see you on the 5th. And if you want to go to, I think it's pumpsandpipes22.com, you can register. We still have tickets left.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.
And this year it's Joanna Nathan from Prana Thoracic. So she's going to be up there talking about, sorry, we just had a massive thunder lightning storm here. You may have heard that thunder. You want to take that again? I mean, I mentioned Joanna's name in the...
I didn't hear the thunder. Did you hear it, Michael? I'm hearing it on my end, but not through...
Joanna is a force of nature. So maybe you want to just keep that in there. Okay.
Yeah. Well, now I'm keeping it in.